Microphone on well. Can you guys hear me? There we go. Boy, that was a good song, wasn't it?
Amen. Amen.
More than amazing. Okay, this morning, Matthew chapter 7 this morning. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7 here in just a couple minutes. As Americans, we like many choices, don't we? We like many options. This was really made aware to me over this weekend. We think about our Independence, 4th of July, but I went to Walmart. I don't really go to Walmart anymore. We do the grocery pickups, but I wanted a gallon of milk. So I decided to go on Thursday, and boy, was it packed. You go to Walmart around this time of the year, and it's hard to get a parking spot. But I had to go all the way to the back of the store to get a gallon of milk, and I went back there. And the people were just lined up by the milk there. I had to wait a while. There was somebody there in a wheelchair, and there was a bunch of other people there. And I'm like, okay, I'm not in a hurry. So as I was sitting there, I never noticed how many different kinds of milk there are. If I remember correct, I remember a red cap, and I remember a dark blue cap. But I was sitting there looking. I see green, turquoise, blue. There's all purple. There's all different kinds of milk now. Skim milk, 0.5%, 1%. There's, I don't know how many percents there are, but it was interesting. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about, as Americans, we like many options, don't we? I started thinking about potato chips. How many different kinds of potato chips are there if we go down those aisles? Right? How many different kinds of cereal are there nowadays? How about pizza? One of my favorites. How many different kinds of pizza? We like choices as Americans, and really, the more the better. It's kind of like that with a lot of things, really. Not only in America, but all over the world, we like many, many options. But in our passage this morning, Jesus tells us that there is only one very exclusive, one very narrow way that leads to the kingdom of God. Very, very clear this morning. He tells us that the path to God is very, very exclusive. It's very, very restrictive. In fact, as we're going to see here in this passage, there is only one way to heaven. And not everybody, most people, a lot of people don't like to hear that. I've been saved. I was thinking about it this morning. Butch, it's been 30 years since you shared the gospel with me. 48 years old. Wow, time is flying, Butch. But I've been able to share, he said, I know. I've been able to share the gospel with a lot of people. In that very narrow message that we're going to see this morning, people don't really get excited about that because we like many ways or many paths to God with all the freedoms that we have, all the liberties that we have. It says this morning that essentially there's only two ways, or there's only two paths in this life. And one way is the right way. And one way is the wrong way. This morning in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says some very powerful words. Please listen and read along with me in your Bibles to these amazing words that our Lord says. So important this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is, by the way, this is the end of a sermon. Jesus just preached a sermon, the famous Sermon on the Mount, and he's about to conclude. And these are his closing remarks of this famous sermon. Our Lord says to us in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." In these two verses this morning, I want us to look at three observations that I pulled out of this passage about these two ways that Jesus is talking about. The first observation this morning I want us to see here is that there's two destinies. At the end of this very, very short life, Jesus tells us that there are only two destinies at the end of this life. In verse 13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to," where?
Destruction.
Destruction. At the end of this life, one of those destinies is destruction or death, eternal death. Notice in verse 14, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to," where? Life. And that's life eternal. What is Jesus telling us in these verses? Basically, at the end of this life, either you are going to go into eternal life or you're going to go into a place that the Bible calls destruction or eternal death or hell. Very, very clear. Shortly after I heard the gospel 30 years ago when Butch shared this with me, because I did not grow up in a Christian home, and I would often think about eternity and life after death and what would happen to me. But shortly after I got saved and God opened my eyes to what I was and that I needed a Savior, I remember thinking about where did my mom go after she died? Because I never met my mom. She died when she was 21 years old. She was murdered by her brother. And I began to think about, boy, Jesus' words are so clear. God opened my eyes that there's two paths in this life, and at the end, there's only one way to heaven. I wonder if she ever heard this good news that they were just singing about the way to heaven. And I remember one night I was in my room and I found this box in my closet and I found a bunch of papers and I brought one up here to show you. And I've shared this with many of you here. I don't think everybody here has heard this story. But it was shortly after I came to the Lord, and one night I was up in my room and I read through the whole book of Revelation. I was 18 years old and I was pretty lost. And I read the book of Revelation now and I'm still like, wow, right? But I remember thinking about what happened to my mom. I wonder if she ever heard, because my dad was not walking with the Lord and my stepmom was not walking with the Lord. And I found this letter in a box that I've never even seen before. And what it was a catechism, a Q&A about the Bible, questions and answers. Apparently this girl, I found all these letters she was writing to my mom and telling her how much her life has changed since she became a Christian. And my mom's name was Debbie, and the lady's name was Renee. And Renee said in the letters, Debbie, you won't believe how much, I don't steal anymore like we used to. I don't go out drinking anymore. I don't do all of these things anymore. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. Multiple letters. And then she would send these to my mom, and she would fill them out. All these questions about the Bible. The most important book in the world is the Bible. She filled up all these. And then I was sitting there, and I read at the bottom, question number 10 said this. It said, one word in this verse is wrong. Find the word that is wrong and cross it out and write the correct word over it. And the verse is 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may think that you have eternal life. And she crossed out the word think, and she put that you will know that you have eternal life. That's the correct word. And boy, when I read that, it was so encouraging to me at that time. And I remember going and sharing this with Butch and Judy. But my friends, this morning, I want to share with you this morning, do you know where you're going when you die? After this life, where are you going? God's word tells us that you can know where you're going after this life. It's amazing. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What a great verse. You can know this morning. Jesus said, you can go to life eternal, or you can go to destruction. And I want to ask every single person here this morning, where are you going after you die? Every single one of us has an appointment with death, and you cannot cancel that appointment. It is coming, sooner or later. And this morning, I want each and every one of us this morning to think about this seriously. We're so busy in life, we don't often think about it, and bang. When I read the obituaries, all the people that are passing away, they're not old. I see young people, and at any minute, death can snatch any one of us, irrespective of our age, where we live, or what we do. Death is coming. And Jesus says there's two destinies at the end of this life. But secondly here, he also speaks of two directions. While we're here on this life, this short life, he speaks of two directions or two paths. There's two roads, and either you are on one road or you are on the other road. Verse 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way, or the road, or could be translated the path. He says, verse 14, for the gate is narrow, and the way, or the road, is hard. That leads to life, he says. Now, it's obvious there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's the broad way and there's the narrow way. So the question this morning, my friends, are you living on the broad way or are you living on the narrow way? Jesus is so clear in these verses. He tells us some facts here about these ways. The broad way, he says, it's filled with people. The broad road is filled up with people. No limits of people on the broad road. It's full of people. Many, many people on the broad road. But he says the narrow road, very few people find the narrow road. Very interesting. Well, what is the broad road here that he speaks of that leads to hell? What is that way? If it's jammed full with people, that tells me right away that the broad road must be attractive, right? Because our human nature, we just gravitate towards what is attractive or what is easy. The broad road must be something that's very easy and attractive to us. There's many people on the broad road. That tells me they're going to enter into eternity unprepared. Many are deceived. They're not thinking about death. They're so caught up in this life. They're on the broad road, the many. They're not prepared. The broad road must not only be attractive, it must be really, really easy because so many people are on it, and by our human nature, we always take the easy way. It must also be all-inclusive of all belief systems because when I share the gospel with people, a lot of people say, oh, it can't be just one way. So this broad road must be all-inclusive of all religions and all other ways that are taught to the kingdom. You know, I think the number one reason why people don't accept the narrow way is because of that right there, because it's so narrow, it's so exclusive, and we don't like that. We like many options, right? But what is the narrow way that Jesus talks about in this passage that leads to eternal life? Is there not a verse in the Bible that tells us the way? And if we know our Bibles this morning, there is one verse that's very, very clear. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way, he says. He doesn't say that I am a way to heaven. I am the only way, he said. So the narrow gate to get onto the narrow road is a person. The narrow gate is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one exclusive, restricted, narrow way, and that way is through Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. Now, why? Why is that? Because a lot of people, like I said, don't like this exclusive, only one way. It's very simple. It's really, the gospel is very simple. It's because Jesus is the only one that can make you and I, that can make any person fit for heaven. He's the only one that can make us right before an infinitely just and holy God. Pastor Dave was just talking about his blood. He's the only one that can atone for our sins. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to pay the penalty that we couldn't pay. It's because he doesn't want us to continue on the broad road that leads to hell. God's requirement for heaven is 100% perfection, and you and I cannot achieve that. But Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was perfectly holy, righteous, and just. Why do people go to hell? 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. My friends, we are transgressors. We have broken God's laws. Why do people go to hell? The problem is all of us in this room have sinned and we are lawbreakers. We are too dirty to enter into the kingdom of God. My family and I, for about 5 years, we ran an RC track in our yard. And we had all this clay brought into the yard, and it was great. We had a lot of people over. We would race these little RC cars, and we had little transponders, and I was the announcer, and people would come from all over. We got to meet a lot of people. It got pretty serious. We ran a point series, and Auntie Jessie was there, and we had Claire's Pit Stop, and Claire sold food. It was kind of their job in high school. But one time, we scheduled this big race we were going to have. It ended up raining. It was raining like crazy, and we said, well, we got to have the race. Everybody came. So we had the race, and the RC trucks, you know, they're about this big, but they were just covered in mud. There was mud everywhere. We have some pictures at home, and I'm thinking about them right now. There was just mud everywhere. And I remember meeting Cole at the door after the race. Everybody was covered in mud, and he was going to go into the house. and he was just covered. I stood there, and he thought I was going to let him in the house. And I said, Cole, you can't go in there. You can't go in the house. And he looks at me and says, why not? He wanted to get in the house. It was, we were all done racing. And I said, son, you're too dirty. You can't go in. Now, why is it you and I cannot go into heaven? We're too dirty. We need to be cleansed from our sin. Our sin needs to be removed. We cannot remove our sin on our own. The Bible says that if we transgress God's laws, we commit sin. Do you know what God's laws are this morning? Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't covet what other people have. Don't be angry at another person. How many of us in this room can say we've never broken these laws? You know, we've been sinning for thousands of years since the fall, Adam and Eve. It's just normal for us to sin. And many people, when I share God's laws with them, they kind of laugh and mock. We've gotten accustomed to sin. We kind of laugh and mock at it sometimes. But God takes these things very, very seriously. Remember, He is infinitely just and holy. He's perfect. And God cannot look upon sin. But here's the point. When we break God's laws, we transgress that law. That means we come under the penalty of the law. Why did Jesus come to this world? 1 John 3:5. And you know that Jesus was manifested. He became a man. Why? To take away our sins. And in him, John says, there is no sin. So, wow, that's interesting. So why did Jesus die? For the wages of sin is death. But Jesus never sinned. So why did he have to die? He came to die for you and for me. You know, I miss Norway, living in Norway with all the trails and stuff. We moved out of town just a little bit, but I remember years ago, Norway in the spring. I don't know if they still do this, but I called it Norway spring and fall dump days. You could take all of your garbage and put it up by the garbage cans, and the city would come and take it away. And I remember I had one of those big TVs. You guys remember those big wood TVs? They were like the big council TVs. And I told Sarah, I'm going to put it out there this spring, and the city's going to take it. And she said, they're never going to take that. And I had some old box frames, some old beds. And I said, I'm going to put all that out in the alley, and they'll take it. They'll come by and get it. And I remember loading it up out there, and I go to work. And I come home, and I look, and it was still out there. This went on for a while. I come home, it was still there. And then one day I came home from work, and I looked, and it was all gone. The big TV, the beds, all of it. They came, and they took it all away. My friends, this morning, if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and dump all of your sin, all of your garbage on him, do you know what he'll do? He will take it all away. All of it, no matter what it is, he will take it all away. And do you know what he will do? He will give you something in exchange. We call it the great exchange. The group's going to be singing about it here in a minute. He will give you his righteousness. What a marvelous exchange. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to take away our sin. How are you going to remove your sin? Many people try to remove it themselves. We cannot. You can't, but Jesus can. He's the only one that has the funds to pay our fine before God. He will take them all away. What a marvelous exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. What a marvelous exchange. When a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, God does something, a miracle. He takes that sin away in the time, and he gives you perfect righteousness. So now, when you stand before this infinitely just and holy God, he sees Christ's righteousness and not your sin. What a marvelous exchange. This is the only way that we can be reconciled to God. That takes us to the last thing I wanted to share this morning. I want to talk about this morning, and that is from Matthew 7. Not only did Jesus say there's two destinies at the end of this life, there's two destinies, two eternal destinies, heaven or hell. And then there's two directions. There's the broad road and there's the narrow road. But But lastly, we see here there's two decisions. Two decisions. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says, enter by the narrow gate. So it's a command. Enter. Enter by the narrow gate. That's a decision that you have to make. He goes on, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow. So there's another gate. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. There's not many who find that narrow gate. So there's a destiny at the end of life, destruction or life. There's a way, easy way and the hard way. But there's a gate that you have to go through to get on one of those ways. So what do you have to do to enter into the broad gate? What do you have to do to enter through that gate to get onto the broad way? What do we have to do as people? What do we have to do? Most people think you have to do things that are really, really, really bad, right, to get on to the broad way that leads to destruction. And the rest of us that aren't really that bad, the rest of us that haven't really murdered anybody or done anything really, really, really bad in the world's eyes, the rest of us, we get to go to heaven. But my friends, the Bible does not talk about that at all. That's not what God's word says. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. What do we have to do to get onto the broad road? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. Just keep going the way you're going. I remember a popular gospel tract, a little booklet that explains the way to heaven. Years ago, it said on the cover, what do you have to do to go to hell? And I remember opening it up, and guess what was on the inside? Not one word. It was totally blank. How do you get on the Broadway? Just keep going. Just keep doing, keep trusting in yourself, keep trusting in your own good works. The wages of sin, what we've earned because of our sin, is death. Where does that leave every single one of us in this room? Every one of us are on a death track. And you say, boy, this is horrible news. It is. It is horrible news. But you want to know what it does? When you really understand your place before God, it makes the good news the best news that you could ever hear. Just like they just sang. Until I heard the gospel when I was growing up as a little kid, I heard it about here and there. But it wasn't until Butch shared the gospel with me, the whole gospel, and I realized my real condition before God. That's when I realized the gospel, which means good news, was exceedingly good news. And you will hang on to that news for dear life when you realize what God has done for you and me, his great love. So what do we have to do to enter that broad road? Just keep going. Just keep saying. Jesus said, you must enter the narrow door to get on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. That sounds simple enough. You would think that every person that you know would do this, right? But Jesus says, no. There's only a few people that enter through the narrow door. Boy, you think everybody we know would be on this way. But they're not. They're not on this way. Why? It's because the obstacles that face us. You know, Jesus, this is not the only time that Jesus talks about the broad and narrow way. Matthew 7, there's a parallel passage in Luke 13, verses 24. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Matthew, he just says, enter. But why does he say in Luke, strive to enter through the narrow gate? I did a little word study here, and the word striving, it carries the idea of a struggle or a great battle or a fight. It's a struggle to enter through the narrow gate. Why? There's many obstacles. It's a spiritual battle. You would think everybody would enter, but they don't. It's a struggle. It's a battle. There's a great conflict going on. That's what Jesus is saying here. So he says, strive to enter. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, Jesus said. Many people will try to enter, he says, and they will not be able to enter through the narrow gate. Why? Why? Why do people struggle with becoming a Christian? I shared the gospel with my dad so many times I can't even begin to count. I shared the gospel with so many of my coworkers, and they totally reject the gospel. Why? This is the greatest news this world has ever seen and will ever see, and people reject it. Why? Why? There's so many struggles, right? There's so many obstacles. I jotted a few of them down here. Maybe it's they don't understand, but I don't think that's the main thing. I think there's other obstacles. You know, a big one is their religious backgrounds. I shared the gospel with a coworker that I've worked with. I see him every day. And I remember sharing the true gospel with him. And I really believe that he believed me. I believe that he believed it was true. Because he said, Tom, even if what you're telling me is true, I'm still going to go this way because my dad and his dad and his dad all went to this religion and they believe in this. And I remember telling him, I said, boy, that's interesting. Even if the gospel I'm telling you is true, you're still going to go that way. I said, well, what if you were brought up as a Shiite Muslim and you were told to go fly an airplane into a building and you knew that was wrong, would you still do it? And he kind of laughed and went away. But the more people I talk to, their religious backgrounds and their traditions are a big obstacle for many people coming to Christ. I wasn't taught that when I was a kid. My parents didn't believe that. My neighbors didn't believe that. So therefore, Jesus bumped into a lot of this as well when he was going about sharing the gospel, the good news. The Jewish belief of the day was that all the Jews, except for notorious sinners and tax collectors, got into heaven. Religion is a big obstacle for many, many people. Just be religious throughout your whole life. Go to church. I got baptized. I was confirmed. And then you ask them about Jesus Christ, and they don't have a clue who Jesus is. Religion cannot save you. Going to church cannot save you. Trying to be a good person cannot save you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. Another obstacle is our own pride. Many people want to earn favor with God. You know, it's a very humbling thing for many people, for all of us, really, to think about God had to send his son to die. I'm really that bad that God had to send his son to earth to die for me? Many people get hung up right there. No, I will work this out with God. I will work my way to heaven. And then when I get there, God will let me know if I was good enough. That's a big obstacle for many people. There's something I have to do to earn favor with God. My friend, can I encourage you this morning to let go of your works? You can work and work and work, and the Bible says you are under a curse. If you're going to try to get to the kingdom of God by keeping the laws, my friends, you're under a curse. Because you can't do it. You can't make it. But Jesus Christ can. It's not about your righteousness. It's about his. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace that you are saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But when you get to before God, no one is going to say, boy, look how good I was when I got here. Look at all the great things that I did to get here. God let me in because I was so good. All we're going to be saying is what we sang about today, how great he is. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything that you ever needed. You have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. They're gone. Titus 3:5, God saves us not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You need to be regenerated this morning. You need a new birth. You need a new life. Every single one of us do. Amen. Jesus said in John 3:19-20, that he came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light because their actions are evil, and many refuse to go to the light for the fear that their sins will be exposed. But my friends, this morning, lay all of that away. Give all of your sins to Jesus Christ, and he will take them all away. Wow. My friends, the first step into entering through that narrow door is turning away from your sin, turning away from your own righteous works, turning away whatever other way that you think you can get to heaven, and turning to God. That word means repent. To turn from your old life and say, I love him more than I love fill in the blank. It doesn't mean that you'll never sin again. It does mean that you're going to have a different relationship with sin. Let yourself go and say, I love God more our last stumbling block this morning, our last obstacle that I wanted to share that keeps people away from Christ is found in this passage here in Luke 13, 24 through 30, in Jesus' own words. My friends, listen to these words. Jesus says, strive, fight. He doesn't say work your way to heaven. He says work your way into the narrow door. Fight to get in through that narrow door. If you don't enter through the narrow door, watch what happens. He says, fight, agonize to enter through that narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, and they will not be able to enter. It's very frightening. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in your streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place, Jesus says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And the people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and they will recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first. And some are first, and will be last. And there's a lot going on in this passage. But the idea here is there's a great banquet. There's a great feast. And guess what? You all have been invited. Everybody has been invited. But you decided to go to the banquet too late. You put it off. And by the time you got there, the door was closed. You know, I think the number one obstacle why people struggle with coming to the Lord is they put it off. They put it off. There'll always be another day. I will be right with the Lord when I'm old. I'll have time on my deathbed. My friends, can I encourage you to go look at the obituaries online? Many people die. My mom died at 20 years old. There's not one of us in this room guaranteed another minute, guaranteed another heartbeat. That's why the scriptures say today is the day of salvation. My friends, if you hear God's voice speaking to your heart this morning, do not harden your heart to him. You might not ever be this close again to giving your life to Jesus Christ. You leave this place today and you get busy, we get caught up in this life. If God is speaking to your heart, my friends, do not turn away from him. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put this off. We are not guaranteed another day. Can I encourage everyone this morning, as Jesus does, strive to enter through that narrow gate. And if you don't know this morning whether or not you have, that's a good indicator, my friends, that there is something wrong between you and the Lord. Maybe you don't truly know him this morning. And maybe today you would say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. God's grace is available for you today. Forsake your sin. Forsake putting this off. Forsake your pride. Forsake your religion. Forsake your works. Throw all of those things down at the foot of the cross and say, today I'm going to take Jesus as my Savior. Cry out to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he will give you a new life. He will give you his righteousness and he will take away your sin. Oh, marvelous exchange. Wow. Strive to enter through that narrow gate this morning. My friends, if you knew that at midnight tonight you were going to die, would you take this more seriously? Yes. Maybe you sit here today, I've heard this many times, I'll take care of that one day, but if you knew tonight you were going to die, you would be taking this way more seriously. Enter through that narrow gate, my friends, this morning. At this time, we're going to have the group come up and sing. And then after the song, I wanted to have a quiet time of self-reflection. But my friends, pay attention to these words. This is a great song that really goes along with our sermon this morning. It's called His Robes for Mine. Oh, marvelous exchange. And they're going to come up now and sing it. But after this song, I wanted to have just a few minutes of quiet time, self-reflection, where we take an inner look at our hearts. Examine our hearts before the Lord. And then after that, Ed's going to close us in a hymn. So if you guys would like to come.